Bill Treat. This is BillPod.com, the Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the Lower Haight, where the cool kids play in San Francisco. Today is Thursday, the 24th of November. Happy Thanksgiving. Remember, tomorrow is Buy Nothing Day, the day on which you should spend no money, carry no identification or phone, and just wander around and chat. On this day in 1835, the Texas provincial government authorizes the creation of the Texas Rangers, by which I do not mean the baseball team. 1859, Charles Darwin publishes On the Origin of Species. 1922, nine Irish Republican Army members are executed by an Irish Free State firing squad. Among them is author Erskine Childers, who'd been arrested for illegally carrying a revolver. For those who don't know, he wrote the best sailing novel ever written, called Riddle of the Sands. 1963, Lee Harvey Oswald murders Jack Ruby live on TV in the Dallas Police Department headquarters. It happens 2 days after Oswald's assassination of President John F. Kennedy. 1965, Mobutu seizes power in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, becomes president shortly thereafter, ruled the country till he's overthrown in 1997. 2012, 112 garment workers are killed in a fire at a clothing factory in Dhaka, Bangladesh. The tragedy raises awareness around the world about unsafe working conditions in developing countries, especially in the garment industry. When I say raises awareness, I mean people fret briefly. The problem still remains. 1913, Iran signs an interim agreement with the U.S., U.K., France, Germany, Russia, and China to limit its nuclear program in exchange for the cancellation of economic sanctions. The agreement is finalized in 2015, Turkish air defenses shoot down a Russian fighter jet over Turkish airspace, killing one of its pilots, causes a crisis in relations between the two countries. The crisis is brief because Erdogan and Putin have such similar personality disorders. Birthdays are Scott Joplin and William F. Buckley. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast is written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tbilpod.com or send us an email at tbilpod, T-B-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com. Prime Minister Gheorghe Kvitakashvili nominated a new cabinet. 13 of 18 posts will stay the same, but there are some new faces and some rearranged roles. Dmitry Kumsashvili is the new finance minister, first deputy prime minister. He was previously the economy minister, and he replaces Nodar Khaduri. Role of economy minister will be filled by Gheorghe Gakharia, the former business ombudsman. Kaha Kaladze is back as energy minister and deputy prime minister. He had to temporarily step down because of pre-election campaigning rules. Zura Alevidze is the new minister of regional development and infrastructure, replacing Nodar Javakashvili. He previously worked in the government administration. State minister for European and Euro-Atlantic integration is filled by Victor Dolidze, who quit the Free Democrats after they failed to get into the new parliament. He served as head of Georgia's mission to the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe from 2005 to 2009. He replaced David Bakradze, who's now ambassador to Washington. Parliament will hold hearings on new appointees and is expected to vote on their confirmation on the 26th of November. The government responded to allegations of female genital mutilation being practiced by members of the Avar community in Kakheti. Institute for War and Peace reporting, as we've said, mentioned earlier this month in a couple of articles that it's being practiced in at least three villages. Acting Justice Minister Teatsa Lukiani told the media that the government is working towards eliminating the practice as soon as possible. She will push the government to ratify the amended version of the Istanbul Convention on Violence Against Women, which contains provisions against female genital mutilation. Those practicing in Kakheti have claimed the right to do so under the religious freedom protections of Georgia's constitution. In travel to and from Georgia, Prime Minister Kvitakashvili met with U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary for European and Eurasian Affairs, Bridget Brink. She has long experience with Georgia. They met in Tbilisi on the 21st of November. The two discussed strategic cooperation between Georgia and the U.S. in areas of defense, economics, democratization, and others. Patriarch Ilya II spent the weekend in Moscow celebrating the 70th birthday of Russian Patriarch Kirill. Ilya said that the Georgian church will work towards mending political ties between the two countries and that it's perfectly normal for religious leaders to get involved in politics. British Foreign Office Minister Alan Duncan is in Tbilisi this week meeting with President Prime Minister and Foreign Minister. They're discussing bilateral cooperation on a number of issues. Washington Post reported that U.S. Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham will visit Georgia in January. These have been two senators that have been most stridently anti-Trump. They'll stop in Estonia and Ukraine with the purpose of reassuring U.S. allies that Washington is still committed to defending them against Russian aggression, even though Donald Trump, the Kremlin stooge psychopath, has been elected president. President Mark Velashvili pledged to stand up for presidential powers in the face of possible constitutional amendments by the Otsneva-dominated parliament. That was part of his speech, marking the opening of Georgia's new parliament, which was on the 18th of November. He said he and his team are open to cooperating with the new parliament, but they have a responsibility to protect the independent institutions such as presidency, media, and civil society. Levon Varsholomidze, a National Movement member and former chairman of Ajada's regional government, announced that he won't accept a seat in Ajada's Supreme Council. He told supporters that he'll stay active in politics, though. He'll be replaced by fellow National Movement member Asmat Diasamidze. Democracy and Freedom Watch speculated that Varsholomidze is refusing to take the seat in a show of solidarity with National Movement members protesting what they believe were rigged election results. That group is led by Misha. Another group within the National Movement wants to work within government structures to advance the interests of their supporters, even though they think the results were rigged as well. That group is led by Giga Bokeria. The governments of Georgia and the U.S. each condemned Russia's ratification of a treaty to create combined military forces with Abkhazia. The Duma ratified the treaty on the 16th of November, and Vladimir Putin signed it into law this week. It allows for creation of a joint Russian-Abkhaz military force that will be stationed at Russia's military base in Abkhazia and some other points in the region. The treaty is good for 10 years, can be automatically renewed for another five. Tbilisi and Washington both condemned it as illegal, saying it's not a valid international agreement because Abkhazia constitutes sovereign Georgian territory. Tbilisi also said the policy is an act of aggression and part of Russia's policy annexation of the breakaway territories. Russia's Deputy Foreign Minister Grigory Karasin announced in an unrelated statement that Russia will not reconsider its recognition of Abkhazia and South Ossetia as independent republics. It's the new reality in the region, he said. He also accused Georgia of being hostile and aggressive towards Russia. Yeah. General Vladimir Chachabaya is the new chief of general staff of the Georgian Armed Forces. He replaces Major General Vakhtang Kapanadze, whose term expired. Chachabaya served as joint staff chief during the 2008 August War, briefly served as deputy defense minister in 2009. Georgian public broadcaster head Georgi Baratashvili resigned this week, a full 2 years before his term was set to expire. He said he'd already achieved everything he hoped to and said that the organization can benefit from new blood. He said the decision is personal, not political. He was fired by the broadcaster's board on two separate occasions in 2013, but both times he successfully used the courts to get his job back. Tinatin Berdzeneshvili will be acting director until a permanent replacement is appointed. Head of the Georgian Border Police, Zurab Gamzardashvili, resigned this week, citing personal reasons. He'd held the role since 2013 and was also Deputy Interior Minister. Tbilisi and Kutaisi observed the Transgender Day of Remembrance on the 20th of November. Small gatherings in both cities commemorated victims of transphobia. The Kutaisi government was led by Identoba Kutaisi and commemorated two transgender women, Bianca Shigurova and Sabi Berniani, both of whom were murdered in recent years because of their gender identity. Participants also criticized the government for not having a policy in place to combat crimes motivated by homophobia and transphobia. A Tbilisi gathering was in Vake Park and expressed support for Zizi, a transgender woman who was viciously attacked last month. She was still alive at the time of the memorial, but passed away on the 22nd of November. She'd been in a coma since the attack. A memorial to those Georgian soldiers who've fallen in international missions opened this week at the Kurtsanisi Joint Training and Evaluation Center. It was formerly opened by Defense Minister Levon Izsoria. The State Audit Service published final statistics on the campaign expenditures of each political party during the parliamentary campaign period from the 8th of June to the 8th of October. Otsneva led the pack, spending about 21 million lari. Pataburchiladze's State for the People was second with about 4.4 million. The National Movement and Patriots Alliance each spent roughly 2.4 million. Speaking of political parties, the number of parties now eligible to receive state funding will increase from 11 to 20, and the total allocation from the public budget will be 9.8 million lari annually. State funding is available to qualified political parties, those which gained at least 3% of the vote in parliamentary elections and 3% of vote in most regional local self-government elections. Parties can reach those thresholds while participating in blocs or with other parties, which explains the large number. Israel is considering moving a policy to automatically reject asylum requests by Georgians and Ukrainians. They say requests by Georgians have shot up since the two countries signed a visa-free agreement in 2013. That year, there were 4 asylum requests by Georgians. This year, there have been 3,069. The Israeli Interior Ministry says most Georgians who apply for asylum, they're claimed to be victims of political coercion, and they think these applications are not legitimate. Severe winds did damage in Imereti and Samegrelo over the weekend, tearing roofs off buildings in Kutaisi, Samtredia, Zudidi, Poti, and surrounding villages. Several flights from the Kutaisi airport were canceled as well. No one was injured. Several flights out of Tbilisi were also postponed this week because of a Lufthansa pilot strike. About 900 flights were postponed worldwide due to the strike, affecting around 100,000 passengers. Mayor Narmania announced the city will soon release a tender to construct 10 multi-level parking garages in Tbilisi. If implemented, the plan would pretend to ease traffic and make parking easier, and hopefully make life easier for pedestrians too. The traffic in Tbilisi continues to get worse, and Armenia is under the misconception that more places to put cars will improve the situation, whereas what should happen is that they should enforce current parking laws. The ombudsman recommended that management at Vake Swimming Pool remove the sign banning women from swimming while menstruating on grounds that it is gender discriminatory. Some of the pool's patrons complained about the sign back in August, and the story was picked up by several international news sources. Geostat published new data on external trade. Georgia's total trade volume is up 22% year-on-year. During the first 10 months of the year, imports are up 31%, while exports are down 7%. The imports are mostly accounted for by hepatitis C medication, which also explains why Canada has been the country's biggest trading partner so far in 2016, making up more than 20% of total imports. The World Bank upgraded its economic growth outlook for Georgia, projecting growth of 3.4% from 2016 and 5.2% in 2017, both upward adjustments from their previous projections. They pointed to increasing government spending and sustained foreign investment as drivers of the higher growth figures. They also project the budget deficits to increase in 2016 because of several expenditures were not budgeted for. The ratings agency Standard & Poor's upgraded the outlook for Georgian Oil and Gas Corporation from negative to stable, saying the company's performance is improving. They mentioned two big projects that should boost its earnings: the Gardabani Thermal Power Plant, construction of which will start in 2017, and the Underground Gas Storage Facility project, with construction starting in 2018. Pharmacy company GPC, which is owned by Evex, purchased Pharma Depot. The deal makes Evex a much larger player in Georgia's retail pharmacy market. It will now compete with PSP for the largest market share. The investment company Block Invest announced plans to start construction on 2 new hotels by the end of the year, according to a report by Commerçant. They will build 2 towers at the former site of the Blood Transfusion Institute in Tbilisi. The total project will cost $140 million, and they're still considering hotel operators. They're considering brands such as Marriott, Louvre, and Residor. Block Invest is also involved in a joint project with a partnership fund to build the 3-star hotel Park Inn by Radisson, which will be completed in 3 years. The Ukrainian airline Dart will launch direct flights between Kiev and Tbilisi from the 23rd of December. The route will be made twice per week on Fridays and Sundays. From November 2016 to March 2016, Tbilisi International Airport is expected to service 239 different routes, a 15% increase from last year's winter aviation season. National rugby team, the Lelos, pulled off a big victory against Samoa at Meskhi Stadium on the 20th of November. They won 20-16. Their next match is against Scotland at Kilmarnock on the 26th of November. It is a 6:30 p. It's at 6:30 p.m. Georgia time. Bidzina sold a painting by William de Kooney at Christie's auction in New York for $66.3 million. The painting is from 1977 and was purchased by Bidzina in 2009 for $35 million. The buyer is anonymous. Çukurova Municipality in Guria opened a new art palace. It costs 2.5 million lari and can seat 350 people. It contains a public theater and a cultural center. 10-year-old Mariam Mamedashvili won the Junior Eurovision Song Contest in 2016 in Malta on the 20th of November. Her song is called Mzeo. Parliamentary news. Georgia's new parliament met for the first time on the 18th of November. Gheorghe Kyudakashvili was confirmed as prime minister. Majority and minority groups and factions were formed. Otsneva's majority group includes 116 MPs from two factions, Georgian Dream with 110 and Georgian Dream Industrialists with 6. National Movement leads the minority group and is made of two factions, a National Movement chaired by Nika Melia, and the National Movement for Georgia's Advancement, chaired by Elena Hostaria. The latter also includes Vice Speaker Sergei Kapanadze. The fifth parliamentary faction is the Patriots Alliance, which is led by the party's political secretary, Gheorghe Lomia. The parliamentary speaker and 6 vice speakers were confirmed during the first parliamentary session. Parliamentary speaker is Irakli Kobakhidze, secretary general of Otsneba. Vice speakers from Otsneba are Tamar Chugoshvili, formerly the Georgian Young Lawyers Association, or GYLA, Gia Volsky, Zvia Dzidzikuri of the Conservative Party, which stood for election on Georgia Dream's party list, and Ilya Nakashidze. National Movement's vice speaker is former Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Kapanadze, and the Patriots Alliance vice speaker is party co-founder Irma Inashvili. Sandra Roloff addressed Parliament about her vacating her seat. She needs approval from the Procedural Issues Committee before she can step down. The meme this week is a highlight video of the Lelos' impressive victory against Samoa. The Lelos are on to greater and greater heights. Stuff to read. Luis Navarro, formerly of NDI, writes for the Foreign Policy Research Institute about Georgia's political situation after Otsneva's electoral victory. The party has clear majorities in nearly all levels of government, one of the parliamentary opposition parties. The Patriots Alliance is favored by Bidzina as a designated opposition he is comfortable with. Two parties have in common the desire to amend the constitution to ban same-sex marriage, for example, which is supported by Russia as a divisive anti-Western positioning issue. Caucus's analytical digest devotes an issue to the parliamentary election results. They consider several factors: undecided voters, whether the outcome should be viewed positively or negatively from a democratization standpoint, and whether anti-Western propaganda had much effect on the outcome. Social science in the caucuses analyzes gender and minority representation on the political party list. Women won 24 of 150 seats. Ethnic minorities won 11 out of 150. These figures seem disappointing, but are actually the highest in Georgia's history. Among the top 6 parties, the Bourgeoisie Democrats had the highest portion of women on their party list at 41%. Georgian Dream had the lowest at 12%. The National Movement had the highest proportion of ethnic minorities at 8%. The Free Democrats came last with 3%. Gheorghe Lomsadze reviews Ali and Nino, the film adaptation of the popular novel. The movie's being promoted by the Azerbaijani government. One of the producers is Leyla Aliyeva, the daughter of President Ilham Aliyev. Lomsadze's view is that the film is very beautifully shot, but the plot doesn't stay true to the novel and the script is stale. He thinks it's more of a travel advertisement for Azerbaijan than a quality feature film. The Wrap profiles film director Rusudan Glurjidze, whose film House of Others is under consideration for the Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. Her film covers the lives of 2 families living at homes in Abkhazia, forcibly vacated during the Civil War. During the 90s, she said that as an artist, it is her duty to raise attention to the issue. Will Dunbar, our favorite Tbilisi man about town, publishes Guide to Tbilisi for the Calvert Journal. It covers where to eat, shop, and sightsee. Included are some well-known spots like Basiani, Rooms, and Betlemi Quarter. Also in there are some lesser-known spots like Keto Takote. Will knows his stuff, so pay attention. Also by Will, hot off the press, is a really beautiful article by him and Vova Shioshvili called Health and Wellness in the Ruins of the Soviet Empire. great photographs. It talks about the spa culture around Georgia and what has happened to how people view that, as well as what has happened to its physical locations. It's great. Check it out. Dunbar also publishes another piece for the Calgary Journal this week, a letter from Tbilisi to the outside world. This is a picture of the vibrant city that is, in Dunbar's own words, under threat from a mixture of fast money, neglect, and bad government. European Alumni Association of Georgia, as we mentioned last week, published its fourth podcast, which focuses on the following areas: visa liberalization, the EU, Eastern Partnership countries, relations with gas and electricity issues, official visits of EU and NATO people, elections in Europe, Georgian Orthodox Church's official visit to the EU and NATO, and a bunch of other stuff. Podcast is in Georgian, Georgian language. You can find it on SoundCloud or listen every Monday at 2:30 p.m. on Radio Rioni. Be sure to tell Georgian friends and other Georgian speakers you know about it. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty posts an infographic about petty corruption in post-communist countries with data from the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia. Georgians will be pleased to know that they are in the least corrupt category. Fewer than 10% of households reported having paid a bribe to get basic services. Moldova and Tajikistan are the most corrupt. More than half of households reported paying bribes. Former U.S. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld makes a case in the Wall Street Journal for why Georgia belongs in NATO. He cited the recent democratic election and government's steadfast commitment for Euro-Atlantic integration despite the change in the ruling party in 2012. Georgia's also made big commitments to America's war in Afghanistan. The Clarion has a brief on levels of knowledge about European partnership countries within EU membership states. In their view, the initiative would be a lot more effective if EU officials had more expertise in the region. All this stuff to read is posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 12, Georgia's current position in the world rugby rankings. The Lelo's next opponent, Scotland, is ranked number 7, so a victory could lift them even higher. Number 12 ranking is currently Georgia's highest ever. The American Research Institute of the South Caucasus, or ARISC, announced its funding opportunities for 2016-17. Grants of up to $1,500 are available to U.S. graduate and postdoctoral researchers doing South Caucasus-related projects. The money is to cover travel and or living expenses in the region. Recipients are expected to give an ARISC-sponsored presentation on their research findings. Applications are due the 31st of December. For more information, go to arisc.org. That is ARISC.org. The International Women's Association of Georgia is hosting the Tbilisi Winter Fair on the 3rd of December at the Radisson Blue Iveria. Embassies and consulates from more than 20 countries will be represented, as well as local artists and businesses selling products, crafts, souvenirs, and dishes from around the world. The funds will go to women, children, and elderly people in need in Georgia. The Swiss Embassy will be represented and will have some fantastic Swiss products. Entrants are for the symbolic price of one lari. American Friends of Georgia is hosting its annual gala dinner on the 10th of December at Garden Hall. The event's purpose is to raise money for rebuilding Zegvi shelter near Tbilisi, the shelter to protect vulnerable children and abandoned elderly people. The tickets are $100 per person. Transparency International Georgia is one of the supporters of American Friends of Georgia. They hope to see you at the gala. For Friends of Georgia in the UK, Bristol Tbilisi Association is inviting Tbilisi's own Onik Krikorian to speak about his experiences living and working in Georgia. Krikorian is a journalist contributing to the BBC, Institute of War and Peace Reporting, and Eurasianet. The event is on the 30th of November in Council House in Bristol, room IP02. It's £3.50 for members of the British Georgian Society, £5 for non-members. You can reserve a seat by sending an email to bta.twinning, T-W-I-N-N-I-N-G, @gmail.com. For those who don't know him, Onik is an incredible photographer, and I'm sure he will be showing some of his photographs there. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we'll finish with Texan Scott Joplin, born just outside of Texarkana from 1908. This is his Pineapple Rag.